Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Well, there are some gaps. There is a lot of men away. But I know they're having a good time. I didn't hear of any tents that got blown over on our windy Friday night. But I know, as Andy said, there was lots of rain there, so I'm sure there's lots of mud puddles for them to have fun in with their four-wheel driving. I'm sure we'll hear some stories about that. But the wonderful thing is, as Andy said, as we're hearing the word this morning, they're also sharing the word this morning. And just for all those people that are on camp that don't know Jesus, what an awesome opportunity, adding the fresh air in God's country to hear his word. Well, this morning I've titled my message, What Are You Looking At? So let me start by asking you all a question. What do you spend a lot of your time and thoughts on? What consumes you? What are you focusing on? What seems to come into your mind a lot? Could be anything, good or bad, doesn't matter. So let me list just a few things that I know all of us can relate to at different times, because obviously the things we focus on are different at different times. Some of the worrying things that we might focus on, they could be things like the pandemic. Now that's a big issue at the moment, isn't it? We know that. But there's so much information coming from every different angle. Maybe you're worried about that and have concerns about, you know, what information do I believe? It could be your health. Maybe that's a concern. It could be your health or the health of your family or friends. Finances, worrying about how you're going to make ends meet. What about relationships? Maybe there's strained relationships, or maybe there's negative influences in your life. Maybe that's something that's worrying you. Work situations, there could be pressure at work, or there could be study, exams, that brings a lot of pressure. Or politics, who or what do we believe these days? It could be the cancel culture movement, wokeness, or any other new idea that someone has come up with to disturb our normal way of life. It is a messed up world we're living in. And there is so many things that can take our mind and our thoughts and our consume a lot of our time. But what about some of the nice things that we could be spending our thoughts on? Who's planning a holiday? Maybe you're thinking about your next holiday. What about a family event, a birthday, a birth of a child, as we just saw with Amanda, an engagement, a wedding? Maybe you're having a birthday yourself. You could be having friends over to visit. What about planning your next meal out? A new car? Your favourite sports event? Maybe searching out the latest bargains, spending a lot of time and effort looking at all the shopping brochures? Looking for latest cooking ideas and recipes? Or, like me, my family, my grandchildren, my pets? Or, if you like Grey, space launches and rocket building. So have a quick think. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? I want to talk this morning about bringing into perspective where our main thoughts and efforts should be, where we all should be focusing. So I've picked a couple of scriptures this morning that tell us exactly what we should do. But first of all, before I read them, I want to quickly paint you a picture in which the first scripture I'm about to read takes place. And there's so many beautiful little treasures as I paint this picture that hopefully you'll pick up on. And Dave, you just about told my whole story this morning in communion. Thanks for that. Because I'm going to start with in Exodus, where we have the story of Moses. And he led the children out of captivity. He delivered them, the children of Israel, out of the slavery that they were living in Egypt. And, you know, that is a familiar story for a lot of us, I'm sure. But we know that that type, that story that we're reading there, represents our salvation. as Dave put it so well this morning, our being set free from the slavery of the world and our coming to know Jesus and accept his free gift of eternal life for each one of us. We then see the miracle of the Red Sea parting, and as the Israelites passed through to safety, while their enemies were swallowed up as they tried to chase them down. What an incredible miracle that was. I mean, it's not something we see today, is it? Like, you know, the parting of the sea, how incredible. Our enemy today is Satan, who is always chasing us to enslave us. But our God can bring us through to safety. He always makes a way. We then see the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, there were reasons why they had to wander for 40 years, but that's for another time. As Dave said this morning, they saw miracles. They were provided for. God provided manna. They never, ever had to go hungry. They always had food provided for them. Their clothing didn't wear out. Can you imagine wearing the same clothes for 40 years? There goes all our bargain shopping we've been spending so much time thinking about. I'm sure some of the men's clothes after 4 days or 3 days is going to be interesting too. God also provided a pillar of cloud to follow through the day. And he gave that pillar of cloud gave them shade from the hot scorching sun. And he gave them a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. And that was how he led them through the wilderness. But, as Dave said again this morning, they complained, they whinged and moaned, even though they knew and they had those signs right in front of them, they knew that God was with them. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning because I know none of us here would ever whinge and complain, would we? Then we come to Joshua, who actually led the children of Israel to the Jordan River, which they needed to cross to go to the Promised Land. As we look at the Word of God this morning, I want you to realise that every word in the Bible, every story that we read in the Bible has meaning. It's not just there as a filler or something as a nice story to tell or something that doesn't mean anything to us today. It is quite the opposite. Crossing the Jordan is a very clear picture of our Christian journey and gives us many, many keys that we can follow and equate to our life today. And I hope I can convey that to you. So there's our promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of blessings, a land of abundance, provision, victory, where peace and security and the promises of God could all be enjoyed. That was God's inheritance for the children of Israel. But the Jordan runs between them and the promised land. So they needed to cross over the Jordan. And this is a type today that we can look at again. And it's talking about us coming out of the world and being separate. Not living as the world does, but being different to the world. Are we different to the world? Have a think about that. And are we especially different on the things that we focus on as being important, what we spend a lot of our time and efforts on? Are we different to the world on that? These are all areas that we need to be different to the world. We can cross into that promised land and the blessings of God. Who wouldn't want that? We also know that there were giants in the land, in the promised land, and they had to be defeated. Now, we can equate those things, those giants today, to things like doubt, worry, anxiety, giants of selfishness, giants of having self on the throne. That's a big one that we all battle with, that giant, I'm sure. Intimidation, unbelief, and on I could go with the different giants that we battle all the time. We need to do battle with them and win victory over them so that we can claim the promises of God in our life. Now, I'm sure you all know Gray's favourite scripture, and I probably don't even have to quote it because I'm sure you just know it off by heart by now. And we've heard him quote it many, many times from this platform. and that's John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. And this crossing of the Jordan River is a classic example of that scripture outworking right here. We also read in Joshua 1, and I love this, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And in verse 5, I will be with you, I will not leave you or forsake you. What an incredibly beautiful promise of God that is. Every place is ours, but only every place that we tread upon. Only every place that we occupy. Only every place that we subdue and possess. They're the giants in our land that we can tread upon and possess. The giants that we defeat. Those are the places that are ours. How awesome is that? And God's word gives us so many clues and tips and helps on how we can actually win over those different giants in our life. And we read some of them in verses like Joshua 1 verse 7. This is how we can start to win over some of those giants. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. You can't get much clearer instructions than that. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you will have good success. Turn not to the right, not to the left. That talks about obedience and focus. And obedience actually takes courage. And God tells us not to turn to the right or the left for a reason. Because there's extremes on either side. We need to walk within the bounds of God's truth. Satan is always going to use extremes to try to distract us. One of the commentaries I read put it this way. I thought it was really good. For believers today, crossing the Jordan represents passing from one level of the Christian life to another. It's a picture of entering into spiritual warfare to claim what God has promised. This should mean the end of a life lived by human effort and the beginning of a life of faith and obedience. Now, they're the key words, faith and obedience. A life of faith and obedience to our God and to his word. So now you've got a little bit of a picture of this time point that I'm talking around this morning. I want to get to the point of where the focus of what I want to talk about. We have a river to cross. The Jordan stands for all of us for any type of difficulty we're facing. Whatever is between us and the abundance and the blessings and the promises of God, all those blessings he has for us sitting there waiting on the other side of the Jordan. And you know, the Jordan River at the time of the children crossing was actually in flood. So the river's journey, it wound, it twisted, it turned, it went through swamps, rapids, lakes, gushing torrents and waterfalls. It wound its way through impenetrable jungle and it went all the way to the Dead Sea. That's the Jordan River. And just an interesting fact for you, if you're interested, the Dead Sea is the lowest point on Earth. I thought that was interesting, 1,400 feet below sea level. It wasn't a river that you would want to fall into. Or you would be swept away and caught up in all the different twists and turns. That sounds just like our world today, doesn't it? with all the extremes turning to the left and the right. We don't want to get caught up in all the twists and the turns of our world. We don't want to end up in the Dead Sea, that lowest point on earth. So imagine millions of Israelites needing to cross this river. And I think sometimes when we think of these or read these stories, we don't actually have a clear perspective of what it really would have been like. So it wasn't just like, you know, a dozen people going down to the side of the river and waiting for it, you know, not like a little picnic time. This river was in flood. There were millions of Israelites needing to cross. There would have been bracken and bushes on each side. There would have been debris everywhere because of the flooding. It would have been very hard to access. Wouldn't it just been a nice little pathway? So they actually needed to fight to get to the edge. They had to be determined they were going to cross. It was treacherous. And they weren't even aware, like we know now, of the miracle that was going to take place. We know the water was rolled back, but they had to get to the edge and try to determine to cross that river without even knowing how they were going to do it. They just had to trust and obey the directions that they had been given. That's a big call, isn't it? How often do we think about that? Do you think there could have been a little bit of moaning and complaining at this time? It's too hard. I just can't do it. Maybe I'll try it another day. Or they could have been distracted by something else, maybe what the person next to them was doing. But God gives us instructions, and this is what I want us to focus on this morning. God gives us instructions on how to cross the river which is in front of us. The river that's in flood, and our oftentimes our lives can feel like that, as if they're in flood. And this is where we see the instructions, and I love this. In Joshua 3, verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, set out from where you are and follow it, that you may be able to see the Ark and know the way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, this is so important, you know. They needed to concentrate on, to look at, to focus on following that ark, not turning to the right or the left, but focusing on the leading of God. And he will lead and guide us if we're looking at him. And then verse 11 we read, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. This is an incredible picture when you think of it. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, he's passing before us. He goes before us to cross that Jordan River. He makes a way. The ark was carried into the river and God rolled the waters back, all the way back to a town called Adam. That was another miracle of God providing a way. The children of Israel could cross over on dry land. And there's so much even in this which we won't look at this morning, but even the waters being rolled back all the way to Adam is representative of God rolling back all our sins, everything that he did for us was rolled right back to the very start of time, to Adam. That's where sin entered. And another beautiful thing that we see here is that the waters were not rolled back until the Levitical priests who were carrying the Ark of God stepped into the water. Imagine the faith that they would have had to have had to believe their God and his instructions to step into that flooded, flowing river. Because when they took that step and actually stepped out, that's when God did his miracle and rolled the waters back and made a way. They didn't know it was going to happen, but that's what God did for them. What a beautiful picture. We can safely cross any river that stands in our way of the blessings of God. If, and there's always an if we keep focused on the ark, and if we actually follow the ark of our God, which is the Lord of all the earth. We can have peace no matter what, and that's our blessing, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, if we trust our God. So I want to look now quickly at the ark and what it represents for us today, because this is what we need to be focusing on to be able to navigate the safe crossing through any hindrances that stand in our way of blessing. The ark actually speaks of God's holy presence. And as I said earlier, it's the ark of the covenant that God made with us, the covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. It's God's covenant with each one of us personally. So inside the ark, there's three things. It's just a quick picture just to show you. We have a little pot of manna, the two tablets of stone with the commandments on, and Aaron's rod. And then you'll see on the top the mercy seat and the wings of the cherubim. So the stone tablets that were inside the ark, and this is what God had asked them to follow and to look upon, and that was to watch this ark, and this is what they needed to watch. The stone tablets upon which a finger of God had written the Ten Commandments were inside of that ark, and they were a sign to all of Israel of God's desire to have relationship with them. It was God's word. It was the truth. Not the lies that the enemy is promoting today. And the Bible is very, very clear not to be deceived by the lies of man. And the Bible is also very clear in telling us about the false prophets of our day. The Word of God is the only truth left in this world. Have a think about that for a minute. The Word of God is the only truth left in the world. It tells us not to take away from or add to it. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening before us today in the world we live. Man's making their own gospel to suit the gospel truth, to suit the world that we live in. They're making their own version of God's word instead of living by the way God has instructed us. Don't get caught up in all these ideas that are being promoted today. And I can't stress this enough. There's so many extremes to the right and to the left being thrown at us all the time by the enemy, Satan, who wants us to take our focus off God. Don't get caught up in it. Read God's word for yourself. That's the truth. And live by that truth, not by man's truth. God and his word are unchangeable. Everything in this book, this amazing word, is relevant, and it's everything that we need to navigate and live in the world we're living today. God's given each one of us this word as his roadmap, as his guide to follow. And it doesn't matter what your situation is, it's here. There's help for you to follow. So this word of God is what we should be focusing on at all times, and especially through those difficult times. Inside the ark, there was also a pot of manna. And Dave talked about that manna this morning. And this is a reminder of God's provision. He provided nourishment. He provided clothing. He provided heat and shade and safety. All those provisions of God during the 40 years that the children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness. And Dave gave us a lovely picture this morning of how God's provision, even with the shoes that he got. Our God provides everything that we need. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that's what we need to be focusing on, that we can trust our God to take care of us, to provide for us, no matter what our situation. We can defeat worry in our lives when we realise that God is our provider in everything. So we have the Word of God and we have the pot of manna, which reminds us about God's truth and his provision. Next, we see Aaron's rod. Now, Aaron's rod was a dead stick that miraculously grew blossoms and produced almonds. This rod was placed in the ark, and it was there as a reminder for the children of Israel of the all-powerful God, the miraculous power of God. He is all-powerful, not just mostly powerful, all-powerful. Again, this is what we should be focusing on. Our God is all-powerful and he can use anything he wants to accomplish his will, right down to the smallest detail. There is nothing our God cannot do. Then we come to the top of the ark and we see the mercy seat. We know that the blood was spilt every year by the high priest on the mercy seat as they offered sacrifice once a year for the sins of the children of Israel. Today, we have the shed blood of Jesus, our high priest, shed once and for all. And as we look at the ark, we're reminded of his love for each one of us and of his sacrifice for us. We see the two cherubim overshadowing the mercy seat, representing the angels of God that are overshadowing all the attributes of God and creating a throne where the presence of God dwells. Such an incredibly beautiful picture to focus on. The ark was a monument of God's faithfulness, a monument of his love, provision, and power. Today, we have the Word of God as our monument. It's our guide. It should be our focus. It's our reminder of his faithfulness, his love, his provision, and his power. And this Word of God, you might remember a year or so ago, Gray spoke on a message about truth. And he said there's lots of A truths out there, lots of convenient truths. But this is the truth. This is the only thing that is full of truth today. The scripture we just read talks about untrodden ways. It says you've never been this way before, those places that we haven't yet walked. Our pathway is new to each one of us. Every day our pathway is new, but it is not new to our God. He goes before us. The Ark of the Covenant was a visible representation of God's presence over with the people. It was in the middle of the river where everyone could see. So there was no reason that anyone had to not focus on the Ark. And today his truth is visible to every single one of us if we want to look at it. I want to look quickly now at another scripture, Hebrews 12:2, and this is beautiful. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing our faith into maturity and perfection. So it's talking about looking away from everything that will distract. As I was preparing my message this week, I was sitting at my desk upstairs. We have an upstairs office. Anyone who knows me knows that I get a lot of pleasure out of the bird life around our home, around our property. So I was working away at my desk and I heard a tap on the window. As I looked up, there was a cockatoo looking at me through the window, which they often do. I seem to encourage them, I think. We have cockatoos that come and visit us regularly. And as I looked at it, it was funny. It was sitting there right in the window looking at me. I noticed it had all this stuff hanging off its beak. Now, it was moving its mouth like it was licking its lips, but I know that they don't have lips, they only have a beak, but it was doing that sort of action. That's the only way I can describe it. Anyway, I was wondering what was on its beak, so I leaned closer to have a look, and then I knew. So I got up from my desk, I went downstairs, because I was distracted by something very important, I'll have you know. So I went downstairs to our back deck, where we have three beautiful pots with beautiful fruit trees growing lemons, oranges and mandarins, all in fruit at the moment. And this is what I saw. That's all that was left of an orange that was growing on our fruit tree. And we only get like about six, and so they're all very precious. The cocky had helped himself and had it all over his beak. Now, Grey doesn't know about this yet, but I'm sure he will when he gets home from camp, unless I remove the evidence before he gets home. We'll see. Now, this is a picture of the culprit. It was him. He'd cleaned his beak by this time. Now, it's just a silly story, but it shows how easily I was distracted. And it wasn't anything wrong. There was nothing wrong with it. It was interesting. I wanted to know. I had to find out. The only thing bad about it was the destroyed orange. But my focus had been easily taken away from what I should have been doing. And that was working on my message for this morning. If I'd allowed that distraction to continue, then we wouldn't have had a sermon today, not from me anyway. It's so easy to be distracted. So back to our scripture in Hebrews. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the author, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. So this scripture, looking unto Jesus or looking away to Jesus, is that posture that we should have as Christians. Not just every now and then, but it should be our habit. It means looking at Jesus and looking away from everything else. The unfixing of our eye for other things and fixing it upon him. Not having a divided eye, partly on God and partly on other things. It's the turning our vision and our focus from other attractions and turning it fully onto God. Our focus shouldn't be distracted and roaming around, because when there's nothing else really that's worthy of holding our gaze and our focus, especially when you consider to whom we are looking. It's this position, focusing on our God, looking to him, where we can grow in peace and strength and holiness. Now, I've got a little saying that I've got up at home, and it says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God, no matter what the conflict." So it doesn't mean we're not going to have conflicts and hard times, but we've got the presence of God if we keep our focus on him and his ark. So we need to focus on and look at his truth. Look at his provision. Look at his power. Look at his sacrifice for each one of us and his victory. The love that he has for each one of us. That's his heart for us. He is love. God's heart is not to let us slip and fall, but to care for, provide, guide, and love us. You know, we can trust him. Our job is not to take our eyes off him. So whatever path you're walking at the moment, Jesus is walking right beside you. He wants to show you the path to take. You just need to keep your eyes focused on him. Focus on his promises. I will never leave you. My peace I give to you. All things are possible through Christ. Many, many more promises in his word for us to read here. Our focus should only be on God and his word, looking away from every other distraction. So my challenge for all of us today is, where are you looking for your answers? What are you looking at? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for how clear your word is, Lord God, how full of instruction and guidance it is for every single one of us, no matter what we're going through, Lord. Father, I pray that your word this morning would touch hearts, Lord God, that your word would not return void, but each of us would start to recognise the importance of fixing our gaze and our focus totally on you and not being distracted by anything that the enemy would throw at us or put upon us in this world, Lord God, but our focus would be totally on you and who you are. Father, let that be the truth for each one of us this morning. Let us feel your heart of love for each one of us, I pray. In your precious name, amen.
I love being in church. I love worship. I love communion. I love his word. It's just a privilege to be able to freely come, isn't it, here. And I think as I was preparing for this communion, I thought about the Israelites who were in Egypt, in slavery, and nowhere to go. There was no hope. They couldn't do anything about it. They were just bonded there, couldn't free themselves, couldn't do anything. And then God miraculously brought them out of that slavery, just as you and I were slaves to sin. And God miraculously brought us out of that. And you know, the Israelites, they went out of Egypt with a promise, the promise that they would be given a land. And that land was going to be really, really good. And yet they quickly forgot. They forgot, they rebelled. And so God said, okay, have it your way. And so thanks, Andy. I was hoping somebody would do that for me, take the peels off and so on, because how in the heck am I going to do that? But that's good. And, you know, they quickly forgot. And God said, okay, off you go, wander around. And for 40 years they wandered around. But during that time, he provided. He provided the manna, bread. He provided water out of the rock. And we know from Corinthians that rock is Jesus. So as I look at communion and Jesus said, you know, do this in remembrance of me, I remember God's provision. Whatever we need, material, spiritual, it doesn't matter. God is there to provide. You know, Beryl and myself can testify this so much. We were 23 years on the mission field, 1 year in Bible college, all without, you know, what you'd say is a good income. So that's a big part of a working life. And yet, we've never had a need unmet. We are not in debt. And we just live a wonderful life. You know, one day we were on the mission field and I said to Beryl, we're sitting at the breakfast table, and I said to Beryl, sorry, love, but the money's finished, run out. We looked at each other and we said, oh, I wonder what God's up to. What's he going to do now? And, you know, that afternoon, the bishop who was living on the same campus as we were, came, gave us an envelope and said, here, somebody gave this to me. We opened it, was the equivalent of $400. God provides. And one time we were we're at a high school, and part of the high school program was to do a week of community service. And so we sent our students out in groups to different villages, and they would do various jobs in the village, helping people who needed help. And so we'd take them, we had a truck, we'd take them by truck, drop them there, and then at the end of the week, we'd go back and get them. Well, I was driving the truck, I went back, I had to drive about 100 kilometres down the road, over a mountain range, and then another 50 kilometres up. And during that time, the truck broke down. It broke down, and the students were there, they needed to come back to the school. So I said, okay, you guys, you stay here and try to find some accommodation in the nearest village. I will go and try and get some other transport. In those days, I didn't wear shoes. It wasn't a very good climate to wear shoes in. So I'm walking along a coral road. If any of you know coral, it's very sharp. And my feet started to get very, very sore. Darkness came, and I was with one student, and we're walking up the mountain, and my feet were in agony. And God said to me, "Why don't you pray for some shoes?" We're in the middle of the jungle, God. There are no stores around. Okay, man of faith and power. I'd like a pair of shoes, please, God. Finish. And just a short time afterwards, we see a light coming towards us. Light, meet the guy. Hey, what's going on? Oh, I've just been over the other side of the island to catch fish. Now, why would you do that? Leave a perfectly good side to go over another side. A bit like the men who go to camp, you know, lead a perfectly good house, warm, and then go to a cold place. Anyway, this guy, he's there. Yeah, I'm going to catch fish. And then he said, "Would you like a pair of shoes?" "Oh, would I like a pair of shoes? Yes, please." New Guineans don't wear shoes. These shoes fitted. So I got them. I didn't know the guy from Bar of Soap. Didn't ever see him again. I believe it was an angel. I really do. God provides. He provides spiritually. He provides materially. Whatever our need, he provides. And we are encouraged as we take communion. We're encouraged to not forget, to remember. And let's not be like the Israelites who quickly forgot those miracles that God performed to bring them out of Egypt. Let us remember our miracle of being saved. Let us remember the fact that everything we have ultimately comes from God. He created this world. We just use what he's given us. He is our provider. And Jesus, in John chapter 6 and verse 31, he just emphasised to his disciples. He said, "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe.'" Jesus is the bread from heaven. He who comes to him shall never hunger. He who comes to him shall never thirst. Whenever you face a need, don't start being anxious or worried or anything like that. I still remember that day when Beryl and myself just looked at each other, grinned over the table and said, what's God up to now? And he provided. He will provide materially. He will provide spiritually. Let's eat and drink and let's not forget. Thank you, my Father, for all your provision. Thank you. You love us as your children, and as a father, you provide all our needs. Bless you and praise you. Amen.